about this turning from believer to disciple. And we're going to talk about a character trait of a disciple. And I want to go to John chapter 13 to start this off. John chapter 13. I'm going to read two verses there of John chapter 13. I'm going to read 34 and 35. Yeah. So this is Jesus talking to the disciples, right? So he says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. How would you define a commandment?
Law.
You better do it. Right?
Yeah.
Go clean the dishes. That's a commandment, right? I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, go do them dishes. So Jesus is saying this. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. All right? Love each other. Just, everyone say just.
Yes.
Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Okay? The next verse is, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He didn't say your ability to quote scripture, nor did he say how you jump and shout. Nor did he say about the miraculous works that you may or may not do. He said this. He said, your love for one another will prove or show to the world that you're my disciples. The opposite has to be true. If there is a lack of the demonstration of love toward each other, it tells the world that we are not his disciples. Says. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it reads this. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. There's another scripture that the apostle John wrote. He said, listen, how in the world can you say that you love God, who you've never seen in your entire life, but not love your brother who you see daily? It doesn't equate. One of the greatest signs, the greatest sign that we're a disciple, that we have loved one another. And in today's social and political and economic climate, we are called to be, what I discussed last week, was the salt of the earth. Remember that salt, that word in Greek, halos, prudence, means what? Remember? Wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. There you go. You got it. There you go. Let's do it again. Wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment, right? And so he sprinkles you on the world because you are the salt of the earth. You're his disciples. And everywhere you go, you bring this wisdom, discernment, and sound judgment. Whether it's in economics, whether it's in education, whether it's in the healthcare, whatever it is, you bring that to the table because you are the salt of the earth. You're called to be salt and light. And we're also called to be extravagant lovers. Now go with me to, and I think I gave you the wrong verse. It's Matthew chapter 22. And 22 and verse 34. Matthew 22. And I think I gave you, Holly, the wrong verse. It's Matthew chapter 22. And verse 34. Through 40, I'm going to read these verses, Matthew 22, 34 through 40. If you haven't seen that,
amen.
All right, so it says here, verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gather together. They're always testing the Lord. You ever been tested by people? You tested me. That they gather together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And if there were to be like a stop right there, that would have been cool. Right? I'm going to love Jesus with everything that I have. I'm okay with that. Amen?
Amen.
But he didn't stop there. And this is the part that can be difficult at times. It says here, "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I'm good with loving the Lord. Because the Lord is easy to love. Amen? He takes care of me, does all this. The issue that we have is loving others. Amen? So one pastor put it this way. He said it's like a battery cables and jumper cables, battery cables, and a dead battery. And it says on every battery there's this red terminal, right, and this black terminal, right? And you put your jumper cables, the red one on the red, the black on the black, right? And so this red represents God, the positive side. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, hook up to God. Mm-hmm. But God is saying, in order for this thing to be fully charged and to work, you have to hook up to the negative side. And the people on the negative side. And if we don't hook up to the negative side, here's what's going to happen. We become sort of like the Dead Sea. Because things come in to the Dead Sea, but don't go out. And so we receive the love of God. We're benefited by the love of God. But if we don't demonstrate the love of God to people, we become dead. And so God is calling us to be fully charged, hooked up to Him, but also hooked up to people. Being hooked up to Him is great. Being hooked up to people at times is not so great. But we're called to do it. Amen?
Amen?
We're called to do this. We are called to love each other like we love ourselves. And so they came to Jesus, asking, you know, what's the great two commandments? And He explains that to them, and I'm sure their mind's like, really, I don't know if I want to do that. Be hooked up to people, because people are people.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And you one of the people. I'm going to look at four ways of loving, or four different groups about loving. And number one is loving the least. Everyone say love the least.
Love the least.
Go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. And I'm going to start verse 31.
That's not the last one. Matthew 26.
Mm-mm. That was 25. Matthew 26. I'm going to go, my verses are mixed up.
Yep.
Matthew 26. Oh, man. I think I got it mixed up. All right. Give me a moment.
First time for everything.
Give me a moment. It's Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 31. You got it? Okay. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king, which is represented by Jesus, will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Number one is loving the least. Loving the least. Loving the least. There was this guy, Charles Darwin, who created this idea about evolution, right? In this idea of evolution, this guy named Herbert Spencer came up with this phrase, the survival of the fittest. Meaning that only the fittest or the strongest will survive. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we too, as men and women of God, just as people, would take the attitude that the strong or the fit have value, and those who are not as strong or as fit do not have very much value. And we will start to place our attention and time and energy on those who we consider to be fit and strong, and less attention on those who are to be weak. And Jesus is saying, when you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. You see, we place value on strength. We place value on looks or beauty, right? We place value on intelligence. And those who are not as intelligent or those who are not as athletic, we place lesser value on. You see it in elementary all the time, right? I remember as a young boy playing ball, I've shared with you before, that you had to have two captains, and captains would pick two different teams, right? And we were playing kickball, I remember. And if you weren't very good, no one picked you. And the teacher would make one of the teams take you. And you know, you kick glass, right? Because they're in elementary school, it was the survival of the fittest. But if we're not careful as adults, we have that same attitude. That if you don't have any value to me, I'm not going to take my time with you. And so we see people who the world has devalued all of our community. Right? And we drive by them. We don't give them any attention. We see people who have special needs. And we pass them by. Because they seem to have no value for us. Yeah. And what Jesus is saying, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to love the least. You have to show love to the least. Tomorrow, we're going to kick off this sour ministry. Yeah. Well, about 12 of y'all are happy, but... So from 9 to 11, we will be at a spot in Vallejo that will provide showers for the homeless. Because it is our duty to love what the world has considered the least. Right?
Right.
It's our duty to do that. Yeah. But that's not all of it, because I don't want us to as individuals, disciples, to hide, not hide behind, but how do I say this without being offensive? Each one of us has a duty to serve the least and to love the least. And I don't want it to be said that, okay, my church is doing this, but me as an individual, I do nothing. But my church is doing it. And so I'm going to take the credit that a few are doing and apply it to my account. And you may not be able to provide a shower for them. But think about when the last time you took a set of clothes and not took it to the Salvation Army, not took it to the Goodwill, but identified a person that you could give those clothes to dress them. When was the last time, and think about this, that you actually saw a person who is in need and cooked or fixed a meal or bought a meal for them? We are called to love the least. Amen? And even though the ministry may accomplish the goal and you're part of the ministry, still as individuals, we are called to love the least. Because they'll know that you're my disciples. You'll love one for another. And Jesus said, because you've done it for the least of these, you've done it for me. And so every time you give a cold water, every time you fix a meal, every time you give someone a pair of jeans or a pair of shoes, what you're doing is you're giving it to Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm not saying you do it and ring a bell. Hey, look at me. Look at me. No. Because the Lord sees what you're doing. Amen?
Amen.
We were called to love the least. We're called to help those who cannot help themselves. We don't know the reason behind why they're at this position, but they are. And we're called to love on them because we love Jesus. And that love of Jesus, which is so evident in our life, and we're so full of it, should radiate out of us and be able to love others. Is that sound right? Yeah. We can do that, can't we?
Yes.
We're called to do that. It's a commandment. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Loving the least. Number two is loving the lost. Everyone say lost. Most lost people don't know that they're lost. If you did not grow up in an environment where the Word of God was taught, it'd be hard for you to understand that without Jesus, you're lost. Because in most homes who do not teach the things of the Lord, they will yet teach you how to be good, how to be morally upright in most cases, right? And if you're good and morally upright, then you satisfy the requirements that God has. No, you haven't. Because you can't satisfy it. Because the only one that can satisfy it is Jesus. And the lost, in most cases, don't know that they're lost. And that's why it's important for us to engage them in conversation to point out that they're lost. And you say, wow, that's pretty heavy. How do I go about doing that? In love. How do I love the lost? With love. What does that look like? It looks like serving them.
Yes.
You have any lost folks around you?
Oh, yes.
When was the last time you engaged with them and taking a lost one out for a meal? Not to preach to them, but to demonstrate to them the love of Jesus. See, we are called to engage the lost. So we know lost people, but how often do we hang out with lost people? So Jesus, he was walking and he called this guy Matthew. He said, Matthew, come follow me. Matthew, the tax collector, he leaves the stuff, he goes follow Jesus. They have a meal at Matthew's house. All the people who were sinful, all the evil people, you name them, they came to Matthew's house and they were just having a meal. And then the religious folks, they would say religious folks.
Religious folks.
You can call them the church folks today if you want to, right? The church folks said, are you serious? You hang out with all those unsaved people? And Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, Jesus said, are you serious, man? Listen, I didn't come to save those who think they're righteous, but I came for those who are lost. You see, too often we are comfortable with, how do I describe, our holy huddles, our holy gatherings. And you think about our circle of people that we hang out with, and I'm sure I'm clear on this, I'm not saying you participate in the activities of the unsaved. Okay? What I'm saying is, if they're going to see light, at some point in time, you have to be around them to show them light. Right? And one of the best ways to show them light is by serving them. Taking them out somewhere. Be a blessing to them. Because here's what's going to happen when you begin to serve those who are lost. They're going to ask you, why are you doing this? Because I love you. That's why I'm doing this. Because I love you. And you're going to be able to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't expand the circle of our influence to include those who are lost, all we're going to do is shout hallelujah to each other.
That's true.
Amen? You know, and the lost person, you know, they might understand the language of the church folks. You know, when you get saved, after a while, your language begins to change. Mm-hmm. It's for good, but you know, sometimes you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have to be careful when we engage with them that we talk in a way that they can easily understand. Right? Because our job is to reach them for Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? He loved the whole world. Right, loved the whole world. And so we're called to love the world, love the lost. But that means we got to spend time with the lost. I'm not saying participate in the worldly activities. But I'm saying is you got to invite them. Hang out with them, spend time with them so they can see light, because right now all they know is darkness. But when they see light, they'll see the difference. And then the Spirit of God will begin to work on their heart and reveal to them their need for Jesus. And because you are light, because you love them, because you serve them, naturally they'll come to you, begin to ask you, what is this about salvation? How do I get saved? I feel something going on. And you can lead them to Jesus because you are willing to love the lost. Listen, there are lost people in our families. There are lost people in our neighborhoods. There are lost people on our jobs. And we are the salt of the earth, right? We are a disciple. We are called to love the lost. We can get to a point where we no longer want to engage with the lost. Because they're lost. And you know, we want to hang out with the saved folks. And listen, at some point in time, you're going to have to hang out with the lost so they can see the difference between their state and your state. And then you can share with them the love of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Number three is we have to love across different cultures. And I'm not just talking about between white or black or Hispanic and Asian, even though we have to do that. But even between age groups.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Even between age groups. We have to be able to love across different cultures. Because if you're born in the 50s and 60s, it's a totally different culture than the born in the 1990s. Amen? And if we're not full of love of Jesus, what we'll say is, I don't want to take the time to cross the culture to love them because that culture is so much different than my culture. It is different. You're right, it is different. But we're called to love across the culture. Jesus said how that he made two, or Paul said how Jesus made two, the Gentile and the Jew, into one group. And so what he's saying is, though you're black, though you're white, though you're born in the 50s or 40s or 70s or 90s or 2000s, you can be one, and we have to love across the culture. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone into a different culture and show them the love of Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, every person my age or older, you need to have some young people around you.
Amen.
And they need to be around you as much as you need them.
That's right. Yes, they do. Yes.
Because stuff, they just don't know stuff. And there are some things we don't know. Amen?
Amen.
One of my grandkids, and don't get mad at me, I do have a Netflix account. Don't judge me. I get an email talking about Netflix. There's been someone who signed into your account and created their own little profile. I said, who in the world? My little 8-year-old granddaughter, got in my stuff and signed up. And I'm texting her mama, what's going on with this stuff here? They know stuff, know how to do stuff. But they need us, and we need them. We have to be willing to cross over the culture. Martin Luther King said this, and I'm glad it's not the truth here at this church. He said that the Sunday morning, 11 a.m. hour, is the most segregated hour in America. I'm glad we don't promote that here. But yet, it's still true around America.
Yes.
And we have our black churches. And we have our white churches. We have our Hispanic churches. We have our Asian churches. And what that says to a culture today is, why would I want to be a part of that Christian group when you guys are all separated? That's why this church and this community is so important. That's why this church and this community on this hill is so important.
Amen.
Because we then can demonstrate how to cross over, whether it's a race culture difference or an age culture, and how we can all be one. If I look out right now, there are different ethnicities in this building right now worshiping the same God. And this is what God has called us to do. And so the world will take a peek and look in and say, oh, they must be disciples. Because we have love one for another. Because we're willing to cross over. Amen?
Amen.
Folks who do not look like you or speak like you, we need to understand who they are and have a conversation with them. And we find out we have more things that are in common than we think. Amen?
Amen.
But it's going to take us, a church like this, to demonstrate that to the world. You're part of something here, what God is doing. And God is using you to display to the world what his kingdom is like. Because heaven's going to be like this. Amen? There ain't going to be no white side or black side or Asian side. This man, no, all going to be one. Glory to God. And so what we're doing is breaking down all the walls so we can live in oneness. Amen? Number four is loving your enemies. Everyone say enemies.
Enemies.
And everyone got enemies. So I was in a new membership class yesterday, and Tisha, where you at, Tisha? Tisha was leading it, and in that class they were sharing some testimonies, and so I got in there and I was able to hear. I think Alfredo's here. Alfredo, where you at, Alfredo? And so he was sharing his testimony, and he worked, I think, in Oklahoma. And he was working in this meat department at some grocery store. And they were really pushing his button. Right? Pushing his button. And I believe, if I'm understanding it right, they were pushing his button because he was of a different race. And did not speak the language that the Oklahomans spoke. And they pushed him and pushed him and pushed him and pushed him. And if you don't have the grace of God, you can get pushed to a point.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Where you gonna push back?
Amen.
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 Listen, don't ever back a dog into a corner. He ain't got no room to go.
Right.
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 But Alfredo said this: they pushed and pushed him and pushed him. All right, this particular, I think it was your boss. Was it your boss? Or I think it was some, one of your coworkers pushed him. It just was on him, and Alfredo was so mad. And he just, you know, and he said, "Lord, you got to help me." And that was an enemy to Alfredo. And so one day, according to the story, the guy asked Alfredo to come meet him in the freezer department, in the freezer. You my enemy? Right. And you want me to meet you in the freezer? But Alfredo did. He went to the freezer, and the guy confessed to him that he was in need, going through some issue, and needed Alfredo to pray for him. The Bible says, love your enemies.
Amen.
Do good to them who spitefully use you. Love your enemies. Matthew 5:43. And this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew 5:43. It says here, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, he's talking to disciples, okay? But I say to you, love your enemies. Everyone say, love your enemies?
Love your enemies.
Love your enemies. Love your enemies. All of us at some point in time have experienced an issue with a coworker that has turned to be like adversarial, right? And perhaps you come home and you struggle with the idea, I'm going to quit, I'm going to go off on him or her. Right? One or the other, right? Because you said to yourself, I can't take another day of this, right? And you're trying to hold your flesh down because you don't want to act ungodly, but God. But the Bible says here, to do it with your enemies. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. also says for us to bless those who curse you. So it says, do good to those who hate you. Love your enemies. Right? Bless those who curse you. Right? Do good to those who hate you. I can't get out of my mind. Jesus is on the cross, right? People making fun of him, just, you know, just saying all type of crazy things about him. He can hear all of this stuff. And he makes this comment to his father. And he says to his father, he says, you gotta forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. That would be the last thing our mind to say.
Right?
But Jesus is there demonstrating what he's told his disciples to do. Because it's not just for us. It's also for those unsaved, unchurched, onlookers who are looking at your life. And they're seeing how you respond to difficult situations. And they're basing whether they're going to follow Jesus or not. Whether right or wrong, they're basing whether they're going to follow Jesus or not based on how you, who claim to be a Christian, live out your life in front of them. Mm-hmm. I want you to know, in your homes, at your schools, on your job, there are unsaved onlookers. Looking, observing what you say, how you say it, how you respond to difficult situations, and they're going to base their decision because many of them may have heard the gospel. Maybe you said to them at the coffee stand that I'm a Christian, I went to church, and so they're watching you. Do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. How do they know that we are his disciples? We have love one for another. We do good to those who hate us. Watch this. And pray for those. And they use this word. What phrase, use you, but not just use you. What did it say? What does that mean? They planned it out. I'm planning how to mess up his life. You want a job, and you got a report that's due, and that person who spitefully wants to use you, when you go to the restroom, they take that paper, they delete that file, because they want to mess you up. And Jesus said, that person right there, I want you to pray for him. And we saw the example of Jesus for those men and women who were walking by and making those remarks to him. What did he do? He prayed for them. How are we going to reach the lost and our enemies and the least if you love? Not by how many verses we can quote, but it's how we live our life. Because they're watching. And there is a generation of millennials who are basing their decision on whether this Christian walk is real or not based on the folks they see like us, whether this is real or not. They don't see it on TV because there's crazies on TV. And the people who claim to follow Christ, the way they talk or live their life is not Christ-like. And so they don't see it in them, so they have to see it in us. I told you before, my prayer, always pray, is that I would never live a life that would confuse my grandkids. That's what it means to be Christ-like. That's one of the things that really drives me. I don't want them to be confused. I don't want them to see their grandfather here on Sunday morning teaching about love and then yelling at their grandmother. So we have to love the least. We have to love the lost. We have to step out of our own culture and begin to engage those in a different culture and love them as well, right? And finally, we gotta love our enemies. We gotta love those who actually wanna use us, those who wanna persecute us, those who talk about us, those who treat us mean. Jesus said, be my disciple, you gotta love them too. Jesus said this, I don't see what the big deal is if you love those who love you back. You know, that's nothing. Like here today, right? We can, well, hopefully here today, we love each other, right? I had to qualify that. Hopefully that we do. Do we?
Yes.
All right. This is easy. To love you. To love you. This is easy. What's not so easy is to love those who you know have done things behind your back to hurt you. But Jesus said, y'all love. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready to do it?
Amen. I'm working on it.
No. So watch this. And Gail, tell me if I missed you to this verse or not, but I'm going to use it anyway. Paul said that, listen, I can do all things. So don't give me that, I'm going to try, or maybe. Don't give me that. No. I'm going to try and be saved. No. I'm going to try and love my wife. No. Right? No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try and cook dinner. No, you're going to cook dinner? You're not going to cook dinner. You ain't going to try to cook dinner, amen? You're going to do it or not do it. And so the question is, are you going to love your enemies or not love them?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now watch this. Not only has God heard your commitment, but the devil has as well. I guarantee you this week, you will have an opportunity to live this out. Right? Because someone gonna say something. Amen? Glory to God. Someone gonna do something this week. And I want you to remember your commitment to the Lord. That you're gonna love your enemies. Because it ain't about you and your life. There are onlookers who are looking, making a decision whether it's Jesus or not. They're on their way to hell. And they're saying, I wonder if what Phil says is true. I'm going to watch Phil and see how he operates. And they see me hating back on my neighbor or my enemy. They fake. They all bunch of fakes. You know they say that about Sarah, right?
Right.
Yeah. They bunch of fakes, hand waving, somebody shouting, talks about the tongue, all that. They all bunch of fakes. And we're going to demonstrate the love of Christ to them. So loving the least. So I don't care how you do it. You find someone that's the least, and you love on them this week. I don't care if you give them a pair of jeans, a pair of shoes, fix them a meal. You love on them this week. Amen?
Amen.
What I hate to hear, kids and adults, I'm fixing to, I'm about to. No, do it. Amen?
Amen.
Find someone this week who's the least and love on them. Right? Love on the lost this week. Find someone who is lost. and serve them. Fix them a meal. Take them out somewhere. Demonstrate God's love to them. Amen?
Amen.
This week, I'm giving you a lot to do this week. This week, I want you to cross over a culture. Cross over a culture. Whether it's an age culture, ethnic culture, a gender culture, whatever. Cross over a culture. Right? And begin to love on them. And then finally, you will have an opportunity this week to love on your enemies. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Are you ready?
Amen.
Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Are you ready? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, everyone. Glory to God. You heard about Alfredo. He loved his enemy. Went to that freeze with his enemy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can love the least. We're going to love the least tomorrow. Hallelujah. We're going to change lives tomorrow. When they step into that shower and turn that hot water on, and they have not had a shower in weeks or months, they're going to wonder, why? And we're going to let them know because of Jesus. Amen? Everything we do will point to Jesus. Why do you love me when I treated you so bad? Because of Jesus. Why do you love me? Because I'm not your same ethnic group. Because of Jesus. Why do you love me? You know, I don't go to church. Because of Jesus. Amen? This is why we do what we do. Because of him. No glory goes to us in this church. All the glory goes to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sister Bella, why don't you and your team come up? And I want to give you an opportunity. Because today, you may be lost. What I mean by that is, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to know him. Or you may presently be in a situation where your enemy is really being an enemy. And you're almost at your end and you want to do something. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or you really having trouble loving this particular enemy, I want you to come to this altar. We want to pray for you. If that's you today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If there's an issue that we discussed today, go ahead and sing that, John. We'll give it time for you to come. Thank you. this closing prayer. I'm going to grab this up by the hand. This is our small group. If you're not a part of a small group, I would encourage you to be a part of one. I think there are two going on today. I think there's one on Wednesday and one on Thursday. There's some seats in the back. You can grab the locations and you can call the office. I want you to be a part of one. I want you to be a part of one. Well, Father, I'm so grateful that you have loved the Lees, because I was one of the Lees. I was the lost as well. I was your enemy as well. God, I had a totally different culture than you have. But God, you stepped across heaven into earth, oh God, to love me, the lost, your enemy, oh God, the very least, oh God, but you loved me. And I thank you so much. And not just me, God, you loved us. For you gave your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. And for that, we are grateful, oh God. And so, God, remind us, how can we withhold your love one from another? Because all that you've done for us, oh God, we're very grateful and honored. And so I pray today, God, that you give your people, oh God, your children, grace, strength, mercy, kindness, forbearance, long-suffering, God, so when the enemy comes against them, oh God, they will know, you know what, I'm still going to love you. God, to give them the wisdom how to step across a culture, oh God, and share with them the things of Jesus. God, I bless your name today, for you are good, and you alone are good. And we thank you that we get to partner with you as you reconcile Benicia and Vallejo and Oakland and Martinez and Fairfield and Concord and Sacramento and Vacaville, God. You reconcile them, oh God. And you're using this church on this hill, this church that looks like heaven, oh God. You're using us, oh God, as your tool, as your instrument to draw people to yourself. I pray, God, that you would set us on fire today, oh God. Set us on fire today, oh God, that we could not rest till we love our enemies, that we could not rest till we love the lost. We could not rest, oh God. Help us set this church on fire, I pray, oh God. As we leave this place, God, of course, never your presence. Pray that you watch over us, oh God. That you continue to mold and to shape us, oh God, into the instruments you designed us to be. And we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may go.